Who is Jesus? First of all, Jesus is wonderful. He's wonderful. We cannot speak enough about him because of his wonder, because he's so glorious. He's wonderful. When we lose that aspect of Jesus, that he's wonderful, he's awesome, he's more beautiful than we could ever imagine, we're on the wrong track. When we're thinking about the things that Jesus can do more than who Jesus is, we're on the wrong track because we've lost our first love. Jesus is wonderful. There were some people in a plane once, and they were all going to the conference, whatever conference it was. And, you know, we as Catholics, we have that wonderful gift. I don't have it. The gift of organization. Yes, we know how to organize. Well, anyway, they're on this plane, and, you know, one of the Catholic prayer groups, this is when prayer groups were really prospering. We were saying, well, we have a prayer ministry and a chair ministry, and we have a speaking ministry and a prophetic ministry, and we have this ministry and that ministry. And the other man that was listening said, well, I just know Jesus is just wonderful. He's just wonderful. There's nobody like Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's very, very, very easy to get into this whole work ethic. And I'm going to tell you, there's nobody works like I work. But it has nothing to do with work and everything to do with Jesus. How wonderful he is. How beautiful he is. How holy he is. How awesome he is. How he cares for me and how he cares for you. That he will never be outdone in generosity. It has nothing to do with what we do and everything to do with the person of Jesus. We need a new look at the person of Jesus. We need to see the person of Jesus through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We need to see the person of Jesus through the eyes of Mary, his holy mother. We need to see the person of Jesus through the eyes of the saints. We need to see the person of Jesus as the Holy Spirit continues to reveal him. I want you to know there will be no words to say about how awesome he is when we see him face to face, because that's going to be the day we're not going to be able to speak, because we're going to be filled with so much love and so much joy and so much of his presence. You see, the glory of God, the scripture says, shines on the face of Jesus. The glory of God, that awesome glory of God, shines on the face of Jesus. And the world is waiting for the church to reveal who this wonderful Jesus is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, the Father said. This is my beloved Son. This is my boy. He's my joy. If he was an Italian father. You know, the Heavenly Father only speaks twice, at least in audible words in the New Testament, and the audible words at the Jordan River, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. If the Heavenly Father, who is God Almighty, who spoke the worlds into existence, can only say, I only have eyes for Christ. He only has eyes for Jesus. He only has eyes for Jesus. Heavenly Father only has eyes for Jesus. Nobody else. The Holy Spirit only has eyes for Jesus. And when the Spirit comes, he shall lead you into all truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. You see, only eyes for Jesus. Only eyes. And that's where the church has gone really bonkers. We've gone off the track. Who is Jesus? Jesus who? He's not Chinese. Jesus who? Jesus. Yeshua. Jesus. 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 We've lost sight of him. It's business as usual. And the Titanic is sinking. Because we've lost sight of Jesus. We think the church is our responsibility. It's the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the members. It's all about Jesus. Who's going to tell the world it's all about Jesus? Me, you, I hope. It's not about business as usual. We cannot do business as usual anymore. You must know that. There's no such thing. We cannot remain business as usual. You shall receive dynamos, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and he shall lead you to the truth. He shall convict you of sin and of justice and of the things that are to come, said Jesus. We cannot have business as usual. And unless we're in love with Jesus, my friends, then nothing's gonna happen. Father came into my rectory a couple of years ago, and I said, don't fall. He said, well, I fell for Jesus a long time ago. And I said, this is a good man. This is a good man. I fell for Jesus a long time ago. I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. It's about falling in love with Jesus. And I'm in love with the Nazarene. Jesus is his name. I'm in love with the Nazarene. Jesus is his name. He washed all my sins away in his blood. Jesus is his name. Oh, I'm in love with the Nazarene. And Jesus is his name. That's the problem. We're not in love anymore. We're not in love. Jesus is lovable. Oh, he demands my love. He's lovable even when he shuts up. Even when he's quiet. Even when I go to pray and he says absolutely nothing. Even when I fall asleep on him when I go to pray, he's lovable. I'm just not aware of it. I'm not aware how wonderful he is. I'm not aware that the whole world, time and eternity, centers upon Jesus, not only as an historical figure, but as the risen Lord, who will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead, who has saved us from our sins, who has saved us from hell, who has saved us by his passion, by his precious blood. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. And yet, who talks about him? Who's singing his praises? And he said, if you don't do it, the rocks will. The rocks will. Well, my friends, we've lost it. And it's time to get it back. It's time to get it back. Well, you know, I've gone through very hard times. Honey, welcome to the human race. I've gone through very hard times myself. And I could write the books on them. How to be betrayed over and over and over again. But you know what? It's not about betrayal. It's about Jesus. And I have to keep on making decisions. It's either about Jesus or I get out of this business, because it's not a business, it's a life. I got nothing else to tell people but Jesus. People say, how do you speak over and over again? Oh, how can I ever exhaust this wonderful Jesus? This wonderful, holy Jesus. How can I ever exhaust? He's always doing something new. How can I ever exhaust what he's doing? How do I better yield to this wonderful Savior? This one who saved me in my sins. This one who will reject no one. For he promises, no one who ever comes to me will I ever reject. People come to me and say, I'm so bad, he'll toss me aside. I said, if he tosses you aside, I want nothing to do with them. And I'll tell him that right now. You toss this one aside, I want nothing to do with you, Jesus. But you know what? How could he toss anybody aside when he died on the cross for them? See, I know. So I could say anything to Jesus because I know he's not tossing anyone aside. That's not Jesus. That's the devil. That's your rotten self-image. That's your shame. It's not Jesus. And I'm telling you, he doesn't plug into shame. You've got shame today. You want to know where shame goes? Go to the toilet and pull the lever. That's where shame has to go. God's not into shame. God's not into saying, look what you've done, you wretch. When you know you've done it, you repent. You go to confession. You get on with your life. You get your face out of the shame. Doesn't do any good. I have this theory that we get into shame because we want to save ourselves. Because it feels so awful. Don't have to be in shame. Not when you've got a Savior. Not when you've got Jesus. Not when he will not call one sin back to you. Not one. That's why he needs to be extolled. He needs to be praised. He needs to be worshipped. He needs to be adored. He needs to be talked about. We need to have Jesus parties. Oh yeah, we need to have Jesus parties. What's a Jesus party? Oh, I'm going to tell you what a Jesus party is. Okay, I'm going to tell you. A Jesus party is not like a Stanley demonstration. I guess they don't have those anymore. Or it's not like a flower demonstration or a whatever demonstration these people have. A Jesus party is you come into my house, you get a CD like Live Worship, and we're going to worship God for an hour. And we're just going to praise his holy name and sing unto God the praises of his name. And then after the hour, we're going to share for 10 minutes. And then we're going to leave. No coffee, no sandwiches. It's a Jesus party. And when we start talking about people, we close it up. We say no more Jesus party. You'll begin to see miracles. You'll begin to see power come. You'll begin to see new life come. You'll begin to see the power of God again if you have a Jesus party. Doesn't take much. Scripture says two or three. You don't have to invite the whole world. Two or three. Start with two or three and have a Jesus party. Nothing but to worship his holy name, to adore him and to praise him. That's all you need to do. We're having a Jesus party. And then watch and see what God will do. Watch and see how the Spirit of God will move. For when we begin to worship God and only worship God for an hour and a half, and share for 10 minutes, then you know what? Oh, Jesus comes. And he pitches his tent among us. And he reveals his presence. Oh, it's oh so simple. But it's like the story with the cat and the mouse. Oh, these dear little mice, they were having a very difficult time with this tom cat. He knew exactly how to catch them, and he knew exactly where to go at the right time. He was so skilled at mice, what is it called? Miceology. Yeah, the study of mice. He was so skilled at mysology. So what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The mice have a little meeting and they say, there's only one way to find out and to get what we want. We need to tie a bell on Tom's neck so that when Tom moves, the bell will ring and we know he's after us. Oh, and they all had the idea. It's wonderful, 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 wonderful. Wonderful, it's a wonderful idea. Then came the question, who's going to do it? Yeah, you see, ideas are in the realm of ideas until people step out and do it. and ideas will get you absolutely no place but hell, because all the good intentions pave the way to hell. It's not the idea, my friends. It's the person that says, I'll do it. Having a Jesus party tonight. We're going to keep on having them every week. Jesus party. 3 to 4. 3 to 4:30. Our Jesus party. But my house is a mess. Tough. You should see my house. We're always having people in the house. If people don't like the mess that it is, they'll clean it for me. That's simple as that. You know, they want to complain about the mess. It's not dirty. It's just messy. It's just cluttered. That's my life. I haven't been delivered of clutter yet. One day, maybe. But you see, we all want to do these things, but nobody wants to step out and say, here I am, I come to do thy will. We'll all talk about it, but we won't do it. Say, I don't know how. Hallelujah. That's what happened with the renewal. That's why renewal needs to be delivered and renewed, because we thought somewhere along the line, we know how. That's right. Listen, that's right. Somewhere we start thinking, we know how. We were 22-year-old kids at the Cenacle in 1970. We knew nothing. And God blessed us because we had to depend upon Him. We knew nothing. Give me people who know nothing, because you can lead them. Give me people that think they know. You can have them. That's true. I'd rather have pagans than Catholics. Yeah, you know why? Because the pagan knows they're in deep need. We religious people, we're incorrigible. We think we know. Well, you go through these seminars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to tell you, I don't mind seminars. But if someone comes into my house hungry for the baptism of the Spirit, I'm not waiting for 5 weeks. We're doing it now while the Spirit of God is ready. We'll play catch up later. And we'll really have theology, because then you articulate the experience that you've been going through. The church experience, the experience of the church, and your experience of Jesus. Hey, listen. Nothing is not, you know, this is not a sacrament. This is sacramental. This wonderful baptism of the Spirit, it makes all the other sacraments alive. But you see, we've become so institutional. Imagine institutionalizing Jeremiah. Imagine institutionalizing Jesus. Imagine institutionalizing Jonah. You cannot institutionalize the prophet. The prophet will always speak in the institution and to the institution. They will crucify the prophet. They will cast him out, or her. But the prophetic word is necessary, that at least someone is speaking God's word. And the word for today is Jesus. Jesus. Okay, in what situation? Okay, I go to the seminary, and I've got these young men in front of me. What do I tell them about? Jesus! Oh, it's all about Jesus. Oh, how much He loves you. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. As my little friend used to say, no one can help you but Jesus. Sadie used to say this, but no one but Jesus knows how. There's a whole life there. You don't have to go any deeper than that. No one can help you but Jesus. For no one but Jesus knows how. Yeah, a little Protestant lady used to tell me that when I was in the depths of depression. No one can help you but Jesus. No one but Jesus knows how. You must know that every heart is made for Jesus. You must know that. It's not made for big and better things. Big and better things don't fit in people's hearts. Only Jesus does. And yet, you know, we've become apologetic because of the bad things that's happened in the church. Apologetic. Honey, I'm not apologizing to anyone, only to God and to the church for my sins. I have victims coming to me, and I tell them, no one can help you but Jesus, because no one but Jesus knows how. I've got perpetrators coming to me, and I tell them, no one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. I've got drug addicts coming to me. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. I've got priests and seminarians coming to me. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. I went to the bishop and I said, no one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. I didn't say it in those words, but that's what I said to him. I said, you're in the middle of the darkest hole you've probably ever been in, but I want to tell you that the God that we serve, his name is Jesus. He sits on the throne. He hears and answers prayer, this wonderful Jesus. Sometimes he comes at the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second, but he's never late. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. Oh, yeah, I'm not speaking different things to different people. It's all about Jesus, because if you don't know him, you're lost. There are only two people in the world, those who know him and those who are lost. How many religiously lost people do we have? That's why I'd rather have a pagan. Because if I have the form of religion, just the form, I say, well, I know that. I was baptized. Well, so wasn't Hitler. That's right. And confirmed. Don't give me that stuff. I'm a priest. Well, you know what? So were some of the popes that did some terrible things. No, no, no. My credential is I'm needy, I'm poor, I need him. If he forsakes me, I'm dead meat. My credentials, I'm desperate. If he walks away, he may as well get a gun and shoot me. Yesterday I was on the phone with someone. Someone asked me to call this person who tried to commit suicide, 18 years old. Now, I don't know this person. I don't know this person. So I called him on the phone. He didn't want to, you know, when people don't want to talk. I said to him, Michael, I just have a couple of things I want to tell you. First of all, I know what depression is about. Second of all, I know that dark hole you've been in. Third of all, I want to tell you only Jesus can help you. And fourth of all, Michael, I'd be very grateful if you want to come to me and talk to me. I won't preach. I'll listen. I'll give you my cell phone number. If you ever want to contact me, I cannot force myself on you, and I would not want to. But I know what you're going through in my own way. I know what it is to want to die. I know what it is to want to die. But I tell you, there's an evil spirit that wants you dead. And Jesus has life for you. He's the life saver. if you want my number, here it is. So I gave my number over and over again. He wasn't taking it, so I kept on saying it. Finally, he got a pen. He wrote it down. I said, Michael, I'm here for you. I will listen to you. What you're going through is very painful, but Jesus has the way out. So Lord, touch that child now. He doesn't deserve to go through this anguish that he's going through. He's only a baby. Pull him out of the pit through the power of the blood. You see, it's the same message. But we're all afraid. Like, what do we have to lose now? Like, let's admit it. The church is on the bottom of the bottom of the list. I found out years ago, this is like several years ago, when I used to go looking for places. How do I find St. Mary's in Salem? Nobody knows where the church is anymore. How do I find St. Mary's in Salem? I'm in Salem now. Where is it? I have no idea. What about St. Mary's in Salem? I have no idea. Well, you do that like 6-7 times, like in about a year or two, and you get the same answer, no matter if it's St. Mary's in Salem or St. Cunegunda in Augusta. And they all say the same thing. I have no idea. The church means nothing to most people. We need to put Jesus on the front again and begin to say it's all about Jesus.
God bless you.